Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, also author of The Weed Agency. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. And Jim, as usual, we start with the good, and we've got some new polling, this even from NBC News, which should put conservatives and Republicans in a pretty good mood to start the week. This is the Newsmax version of the story. More Americans want to see Republicans maintain control of the House, and they want the GOP to take over the Senate in November's midterm elections, according to a new NBC News Wall Street Journal Marist poll. According to those responding, 43% want to see Republicans running both houses of Congress, with 41% in favor of Democrats running both chambers. It is within the margin of error, but the sample was more Democrats than Republicans. So obviously, this is one way to look at the race, and anytime Republicans are even or winning on the generic ballot, it's a good thing for them. This will come down to individual races, of course, but the overall trend seems to be very good.
Yeah, we shouldn't oversell this. This is not an overwhelming margin in this poll. But for starters, looking at the House, considering the advantages the Republicans have through incumbency, through the way the district lines are drawn and things like that, it would take a pretty strong wave for Democrats to win back the House. And there's really been very few signs that that was going to be the case at all. Trying to measure Senate races by a national poll, some people might have quibbles with that. But again, for Democrats, they've got a bunch of vulnerable incumbents, and the best news for them would be some sort of Democratic wave. In fact, this shows kind of the opposite, a slight advantage for Republicans. You know, not an enormous one, but, you know, probably in the closing days, as it becomes increasingly clear, no, the Democrats are not going to win the House. The message of the Democrats is going to be, do you really want to hand over control of the entire Congress to Republicans? And at this point, a large enough percentage of the American people will say, sure. Or alternately, we don't care. But only a small minority, chances are your basic Democrat base are the folks who are going to say, yeah, we definitely want to make sure Democrats have control of the Senate. So nothing unbelievably jumping out of these numbers here. But again, if this is the circumstances that are looking pretty good for Republicans in their efforts to take control of the Senate, keep the House, and make life even more complicated for President Obama in his final 2 years in office.
There should be a good reminder for folks that just because they hate the Democrats doesn't mean they love you. All right, on to the bad martini now. And this is something a little bit different than what we normally do. This is kind of basic economic principles. But this is coming from the Washington Post today. Federally mandated low-flow toilets, showerheads, and faucets are taking a financial toll on the nation's water utilities, leaving customers to make up the shortfall with higher water rates and new fees that have left many paying more for less. Utility officials say they understand that charging more for water because demand has dropped might seem to violate a basic premise of Economics 101, but utilities that generally charge by the number of gallons used are beginning to feel the financial pinch of 20 years of environmentally friendly fixtures and appliances as older bathrooms and kitchens have been remodeled and on. So, Jim, one of the things we were supposed to be encouraged by, in addition to taking better care of the planet, is if you're more conserving of your energy and your other resources, well, you're going to see lower bills. Apparently not.
Screw it. I'm just going to flush twice from now on. I'm going to leave the water run. I'm taking that long shower. I'm drinking extra water, as the First Lady encouraged us to do. I suppose you could argue whether this indicates the wisdom of all of these save water initiatives to begin with. But I think also kind of indicates a certain cynicism at the heart of this, which is that it's the same way people talk about increasing the gas tax to take another liquid that's really important to our lives, in which, you know, basically the lament now is that the federal gas tax isn't covering all the construction projects that need to be done because people are driving fuel-efficient vehicles. Wasn't that what Cash for Clunkers was all about? Aren't we constantly being told by our social betters and the federal government we need to reduce our gasoline demand, reduce our oil demand, and reduce our dependency on foreign oil? So people finally go out and do what the government tells them to do, and the government somehow seems surprised by that, and all of a sudden, oh, wow, we didn't expect you to actually listen to us, and this very basic economic impact of telling you to reduce your demand actually reduced the demand, so now we have to charge you more. And, of course, there's talk about increasing the federal gas tax. So the end result of this is that no matter what you do, the government will sooner or later ask you for more money for the same old stuff it's always been doing.
So what's the solution?
I'm going to flush.
Well, with the low flow toilets, you usually got to flush more than once anyway. So
there you go. This is, you know, some would say this is a crappy topic to talk about, Greg. A little potty humor to start off the week here on Three Martini Lunch.
Yes, exactly. Well, let's just leave it there, I guess. All right, on to the crazy martini now. And Jim talks about this in the Jolted on Campaign Spot today. This is a story that has kind of bubbled up to the headlines a couple times, but really hasn't gotten much play in the national coverage. And that's this program the Obama administration tried to start early on in the administration by bringing in Venezuelan, Costa Rican, and Peruvian young people into Cuba in hopes of ginning up rebellion, but it turns out it was kind of a fly-by-night operation. They were giving people like 30-minute briefings on how to avoid Cuban intelligence, and then the kicker at the end of your story, Jim, is that they weren't even paying them close to current minimum wage.
Yeah, it's a really the most bizarre story to come down the pike in a while. First, in case you're wondering, since this sounds like some sinister neocon conspiracy, that one, this is clearly an Obama administration program, began in October 2009. The plan was to send young people to Cuba, in quote, in hopes of ginning up rebellion. Now, somewhere the ghost of JFK is saying, attaboy. but because they're using young people, I've heard some people referring to this as sort of the Bay of Piglets, Greg. Now, as an anti-Castro guy, whether it's Fidel or Raul or any one of the other kleptocrats running that island nation these days, I in theory, I support this. I want to see the Castro regime fall. What's been very strange is that Obama came across as this softy who wanted to meet with Castro and thought the embargo was kind of harsh. So it's kind of un-Obama. And you're like, wait, was this really an Obama administration proposal? This just sounds so uncharacteristic of them. However, then you read a little further into the story and then it says their efforts were fraught with incompetence and risk. An AP investigation found the young workers nearly blew their mission to identify potential social change actors. There was, as you said, the 30-minute seminar on how to evade Cuban intelligence. See, I want at least 45 minutes when it comes to evading foreign intelligence agents. Then it says, there appeared to be no safety net for the inexperienced workers if they were caught. And I don't know about you, Greg. I read that paragraph. And I'm like, okay, we've got incompetence, relying on young people with a vague rallying cry of social change and no backup plan. So this was an Obama administration proposal. It's got all the hallmarks of their everything we've come to expect from these folks. Obviously, this did not succeed. It sounds like a bunch of folks ended up in Cuban prisons. Apparently, honest to goodness, the memos these poor folks were given was, although there is never total certainty, trust that the authorities will not try to harm you physically, only frighten you. Remember that the Cuban government prefers to avoid negative media reports abroad, so a beaten foreigner is not convenient for them. It's an inconvenience they're willing to live with, apparently. I mean, it's as if they've never encountered anything about Cuban intelligence, which could be some really mean guys. And the idea that, you know, there's never total certainty. Well, when it comes to me getting beaten in prison and all kinds of torture and all kinds of terrible things, I want total certainty. as I said, John Kerry was in the Senate when this program was launched, but it sure sounds like him. So it's obviously this did not succeed. You almost want to applaud the Obama administration for having the guts to try something like this, for recognizing that Castro's regime is not our friend and not something we want to help out and promote. But there's another kind of strange complication to this, which is that, as you said, they're paying $5.41 an hour. So I'm willing to extend a hand to our friends on the left and say, if you're an American covert operator, if you're a foreign national working for us, trying to overthrow the Castro regime, I'm more than willing to pay $10.10 an hour.
Jim, the only thing missing here is a website for young people in Cuba to sign up to be revolutionaries.
I'm a secret Cuban operative of the American government overthrowing Castro.gov. And just put in all of your personal information. It's totally not hackable. Cuban intelligence totally won't be able to get this information and you'll be hunky-dory. Yeah.
Very weird start to the week. We were, I don't think you can trump that for crazy martini probably all week long. But
no, setting the bar pretty high today.
Exactly. All right. Very good. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Jim.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us. And be sure to join us again on Tuesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.